Good to see you here. My message this morning is entitled Altruism and Oneness. So Dr. Muhammad Basha of Gainesville, Florida, tells the story of one of his patients. He remembers walking through the parking lot one day and says, all I could think about was this dire diagnosis that I had handed my patient, Jimmy, pancreatic cancer. But just then, as he's walking across, he noticed an elderly gentleman handling tools to someone underneath his stalled car. That someone was Jimmy. So he called out. He said, Jimmy, what are you doing? And Jimmy dusted off his pants and said, my cancer didn't tell me not to help others, Doc. After he said that, he waved the old man to start his car, and the engine roared to life, and the old man thanked Jimmy and drove off. Then Jimmy got in his car and just took off as well. Well, according to some psychiatrists, psychologists, there is no such thing as pure altruism. According to them, when we help strangers like Jimmy did there, there's always something to benefit us. Even if we're not aware of it. Things like making us feel good about ourselves, making other people respect us more, or it might, as some folks believe, increase your chances of getting into heaven. Or perhaps they say that altruism is an investment strategy. We do good deeds and hope that the other person will return the favor at some point. And then, according to evolutionary psychologists, altruism could even be a way of demonstrating our resources, showing how wealthy or able we are so that we seem more attractive to possible mates. Now, another possible reason from altruism comes from evolutionary psychiatrists as well, who have said that altruism towards strangers might just be, it might be basically a mistake. Basically, they think that it could be what they call a leftover trait from when human beings lived in small groups and people were kind of genetically close to each other. And quite naturally, then, they felt that they had to help the other members of the group. It was almost an instinct because of their own survival depended on the safety of the rest of the group. Those folks would say that while it is true that we don't live in small tribes anymore, out of habit, we sometimes behave as if we were living in those small groups, helping people out around us as if they are part of our tribe. Now, I think this is actually a more promising theory than it might seem at first blush, but I'll be coming back to that in a few minutes. The question of why human beings help strangers and are sometimes even prepared to risk their own lives has puzzled philosophers and scientists for centuries. After all, from our evolutionary point of view, altruism doesn't really seem to make much sense. I mean, from an evolutionary point of view, we shouldn't be the least bit interested and sacrificing ourselves for others, or even helping others, you know, survival of the fittest and all of that kind of thing. I'm not sure that this actually is ultimately an either-or question. The truth is that some acts of kindness may be a bit motivated by self-interest, but that doesn't necessarily mean that pure altruism doesn't exist. There are plenty of stories about people who just react to help or to save someone. No time for any thought or the benefits and detriments that might happen to them to run through their heads. At the very moment that the act takes place, their only motivation is an impulsive, unselfish desire to make things better. Now, each of us actually practice some forms of altruism on a more regular basis than we might imagine. The times that you swerve in your car to miss a squirrel, or you sidestep in order not to step on a particular little bug, or tidying up at a meal after you've eaten out. The list could actually go on and on. These are things that won't give you any special advantage. In the case of the car, it's actually a little dangerous for yourself. But you do them anyway. I believe that's because of empathy. Empathy is ultimately the root of all altruism. Frequently, empathy is defined as the cognitive ability to see the world through another person's eyes. But it seems to me that empathy is actually a lot more than that. In some ways, the capacity for empathy shows that all living beings are somehow interconnected. At some deep level, we are expressions of the same consciousness, or as Carl Sagan reminds us, we're all made of the same star stuff. Or as Hildegard put it, everything that is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth is penetrated with connectedness, penetrated with relatedness. But perhaps the quote that is more insightful and helpful for this consideration comes from Eckhart Tolle, who said, ultimately, there is no such thing as my consciousness, but just the one consciousness. And to sense you're connected with the one, to sense that connectedness with the one consciousness that pervades the universe, which in some traditions is called God, to sense that frees you from fear and anxiety and takes you to a very deep place of peace, but also of heightened aliveness. As some philosophers of consciousness have hypothesized, it may be that rather than producing consciousness, that the function of the brain is to receive or channel a consciousness which exists outside of the brain, and which, in fact, permeates the entire universe. Consciousness may be, according to them, a fundamental force of the universe, just like gravity. And in fact, several prominent scientists have recently suggested that the universe itself indeed is conscious. Now, if you add to that recent discoveries in quantum entanglement, which suggests that when two atoms come into contact with each other, they create this unconditional bond with each other. And as far as science can see right now, no amount of time or space can put an end to that initial bond. They are permanently entangled, as if. These atoms, then, they can influence each other and communicate with each other without regard to time or space. The influence that they have on each other after being entangled is instantaneous. So, and this is really interesting. Working on this reality, senior scientist at Princeton University, Dr. Roger Nelson, he began a 14-year-long study and organization called the Global Consciousness Project, GPC. The GPC uses electronically shielded computers, they call them eggs, placed over 60 different countries around the world to generate random numbers. Kind of, not exactly, but imagine these computers, these eggs, flipping a coin and trying to guess the outcome, with the heads being counted as ones, the tails being counted as zeros. And each time they guess correctly, it's considered a hit. Now, the computers do this 100 times every second. So, if you know any probability, based on probability, you would imagine that with some attempts, the computers would ultimately break even at 50-50. And up until the events of 9/11, that's exactly what happened. But here's where it gets a little bit spooky. After 9/11 occurred, the numbers that were once behaving randomly started working in unison. All of a sudden, the ones and the zeros were coinciding and working in sync much more consistently than they would have or even should have. In fact, the GCP's results were so far above chance, it's actually, like I said, it's kind of shocking. Over the 426 predetermined events that they measured in the entirety of the project, the recorded probability of a hit were greater at that point than 1 in 2, far more than probability could ever explain. As a matter of fact, their hits began measuring at an overall probability of 1 in a million. So, what they say this suggests, at least to those in psychological and philosophical fields, is that what we once thought of as a figment of our imagination is much more real than we could have imagined. When you become close to someone, emotionally become attached to someone, something occurs. It would seem that our atoms, the building blocks of our very presence in this universe, become somewhat entangled. So let's go back to the theory from evolutionary psychiatrists who have suggested that altruism towards strangers might just be a mistake, a leftover trait from when humans, beings, lived in small groups with people we were probably genetically related to. If we are all made of star stuff, and if our interactions with others create entanglements that know no limits in time or in space and can directly and immediately impact each other, perhaps that leftover trait of which evolutionary psychiatrists speak is not so much a mistake as it is an expansion of what was once a survival skill for people living in small groups. An expansion that now extends to all of humanity and points to the oneness of life, the connectedness of creation. It's been argued that it is this fundamental oneness that makes it possible for us to identify with other people, to sense their suffering, and to respond to it with altruistic acts. To some degree, we can sense their suffering because we are to some degree connected to them. And because of this common identity, we feel the urge to alleviate other people's suffering, just as we would our own. In the words of 19th century German philosopher Schopenhauer, "My own true inner being actually exists in every living creature. As truly and immediately known as my own consciousness in myself. This is the ground for compassion upon which all true, that is to say unselfish, virtue rests, and whose expression is in every good deed." But from my personal perspective, altruism is one of the truest expressions of humanity and spirituality. It is both selfless and fully connected to others all at once. At its core, it recognizes the impact that we have on each other, an impact that science is increasingly confirming as well. It not only helps build a better world, but it entangles us even further with each other. It encourages others to do acts of altruism and reinforces our own desire to do it. So it not only recognizes our connectedness, but it also further builds that connectedness. It's a cycling action that creates a sort of feedback loop, a feedback loop of empathy, which draws us even closer and closer and closer together. I'll simply conclude with this thought. Altruism and oneness are deeply entangled with one another. They are spiritual partners. They draw us all closer together, and in so doing, they draw us all closer to the oneness of creation, which from my perspective is one of the most important goals of spirituality.